Well, do turn to page 975 in a Bible if you haven't got that open, page 975, and we'll be following on there. Let me pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus spoke clearly, and thank you that he didn't mince his words, that we know exactly where we stand. And we pray, Father, that as we think about some of these difficult things that he says, that you would encourage us with the wonderful truth of the gospel, and that you would help us to know what it is to love Jesus more and to grow in his love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we listened into Jesus' instructions to the 12 disciples as he sent them out to tell people about the kingdom of heaven for the very first time. There was an interesting little bit that Jesus said back in verses 11 to 14 that we skipped through. So look with me at chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. He said this to his disciples, verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your blessing. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. The disciples were taking the good news out and looking for people to believe Jesus's message. And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And we've heard over the last couple of weeks that it's not just Jesus' original disciples that take that message out, but it's also us as the church today who take the same message out to the world around us. And that begs a few questions, doesn't it? How can we tell who has believed the message? And how can we tell if we've believed the message, for that matter? In other words, how can we tell who is a real believing Christian? How can we tell who is a disciple of Jesus? Well, on one hand, we can't, because as somebody once said, we don't have windows into people's souls. But Jesus finishes off this chat with his disciples, this pep talk, by giving us some pretty strong clues as to what it looks like to be a real believing Christian. So as we listen in again to him, we're going to find out some of the characteristics of real believing Christians, of disciples of Jesus. And along the way, we're going to find some great promises for those who do trust Jesus, for real Christians. And hopefully we'll be massively encouraged by what he has to say. So here's the first clue. A real follower of Jesus, a real disciple, is someone who acknowledges Jesus' words. Someone who acknowledges Jesus' words. Verse 32 on page 975. Verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But verse 33, whoever disowns me before others, I'll disown before my Father in heaven. Now, to get us to the bottom of what that means, we need to work out what Jesus means by the word acknowledge, don't we? It can mean quite a few different things, can't it? It can mean to accept the existence of something. So we can accept the existence, for example, of the planet Saturn. It looks great, doesn't it? We've seen it on TV, I'm sure, or in pictures somewhere else, and we're amazed by its rings. Lots of us would say it's a beautiful thing. But acknowledging the existence of Saturn doesn't really make a difference in our lives. Yes, we know that one or two people are really into astronomy and might be out there in the middle of the night looking through their telescope at Saturn, and I'm sure it does make a difference in their life at 9 o'clock the next morning.
But for most of us,
you know, it doesn't matter too much whether Saturn exists or not.
We're not enthusiasts,
each to their own, we say.
That's not what Jesus means by acknowledging him. Acknowledge can also mean saying hello to somebody
as you pass them in the street.
Seeing them and exchanging a word or two, it makes us feel happy, doesn't it?
It makes us feel, yeah, great, the world's a better place for saying hello.
But by the time we've got to Morrison's or wherever we're heading off to, we've just about forgotten that we ever saw them in the first place. But we did certainly acknowledge them.
Now again, that's not what Jesus means by acknowledging him.
The way Jesus uses the word acknowledge is different again.
What he means
is that we hear Jesus' message and we say, yeah, I believe that and I'm going to live by it. And what's Jesus' message in Matthew's gospel? Well, it's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. To repent means to stop going your own way in life. When you hear what Jesus says, turn round and start going the other way in life. To acknowledge Jesus means to do that. So
someone who acknowledges Jesus acknowledges that they need to repent, to turn away from their old way of life,
to begin to follow Jesus for themselves by listening carefully to what he's
saying in his words.
And they do it, and they don't keep it a secret. They let other people know all about it. And whoever does that, Jesus says, he will acknowledge when they face God on Judgment Day. He'll say that he's died in their place and that they can live in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. So there's the first clue that someone's a real believing Christian, someone's a real disciple of Jesus. And there's the promise for them as well. Of course, every coin has two sides, doesn't it? So verse 33
on page 975.
Whoever disowns me, says Jesus, before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven.
Now, to disown is the opposite of acknowledging.
To disown Jesus would be to say, maybe, yeah, I accept that his existence. He says some really wonderful things. But I'm not quite sure about this repenting thing. It's all a bit much for me. I think Jesus might have gone a bit too far there. I'm not going to quite do that. Or to disown Jesus would be to kind of nod to him in the street, as it were. So come along to church every so often and say, yeah, I've done my saying hello to Jesus. Both of those things would be to disown Jesus, to not actually quite believe his words, and to continue going in our own way and not Jesus' way. And Jesus says if we do that, when we face God on Judgment Day, he will disown us. If that is you at the moment, please don't despair and don't stay there. It's not too late. You can change your mind, even today, about Jesus if you want to. Maybe if you would like to do that,
have a chat with me or with Gordon or with Steve afterwards, and we would love to talk to you about what it would look like for you to acknowledge Jesus, to follow him.
Because if you do that, and you repent and you believe, then your eternal destiny is utterly changed, isn't it?
Jesus will acknowledge you when you meet him face to face.
So the first clue that we're a real believing Christian, that we're a real disciple, is that we've acknowledged Jesus' words about repenting and believing. Here's the second sign that we're a real believing Christian, a real disciple. We will be growing over a long period of time in prioritising Jesus in our life. And we're going to see that Jesus talks about three different areas of life, which are actually quite hard for us to hear today, I think. First of all, prioritizing Jesus even over our own family. Secondly, prioritizing Jesus even over our own comfort. And thirdly, prioritizing Jesus even over our own self. Now, in these verses, we find some of Jesus' most challenging teaching in the whole of the New Testament. Teaching that's quite hard for us to hear, but it is true nonetheless because Jesus said it. So we need to approach this teaching very humbly. Verse 37, look with me at verse 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, what Jesus is not saying is we shouldn't love our families. He's saying the opposite. We'll get there in a moment. But we need to work out that what worthy means. It means to keep in step with Jesus. We often think of worthy in terms of a ladder, that we climb up a moral ladder. That's not what Jesus means by worthy here. Jesus means a plumb line type of worthiness. Do we measure up to what Jesus says? Do we copy Jesus? Do we live a life consistent with his teaching? Do we follow him? So whoever says they follow Jesus, but their life doesn't match up, isn't really following Jesus. Now, all of us who are real followers of Jesus have blips sometimes. And we have blips that may last a few weeks, may last a few months, may last a couple of years or so. And that's something that we need to deal with others and in prayer to God ourselves. But whoever says they follow Jesus, but over a very long period of time, their life just doesn't match up, isn't really following Jesus. And Jesus' teaching here is this. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy, is not matching up to my teaching. Now, as I said, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't love our blood family to bits. It's quite the opposite. We should love them to bits. Think about it for a moment. Jesus wants us to love him loads and loads and loads and loads. So what he says, he takes the thing that we naturally love the most and should naturally love the most, which is our family. And he says, however much you love your family, then love me even more than you love your family. Back in Jesus' day and today, family was and is really important, isn't it? But Jesus still asks, who will you put first? Real believing Christians, real disciples of Jesus, will increasingly, over their lifetime, listen to Jesus even more than they'll listen to their family. They'll weigh up everything that their family says against what Jesus says, with that plumb line type thing. So if their family tells them that something is good and right, they will agree if Jesus also says that it's good and right. But if there's a conflict between what their family thinks and what Jesus says, increasingly over time, they will take Jesus' side on that every time. Why? Because they know that Jesus is the king. Yes, this causes divisions in families and might pit a man against his father or a daughter against her mother. And we talked about that last week, didn't we? So if you weren't here, why not listen again online on the website and you'll be able to find out what Jesus means by causing divisions in families. But it's right and proper, isn't it, to prioritise Jesus first, because he is the king of the kingdom of heaven. He's God's chosen king, a good ruler who has
our best interests at heart.
And you know, as we grow in our love for Jesus, like this, we love him more and more and more as time goes on, so the love for our family also grows. And we love our family even more than we did before we began to love Jesus. But we still love Jesus even more.
So a Christian believer grows in prioritizing Jesus over even their own family.
Next, a Christian believer grows in prioritizing Jesus over even their own comfort. Verse 38. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not, here we go, that word again, worthy again, is not matching up to my teaching.
To take up your cross means to live Jesus' way, even when we start to feel those costs that we heard about last week.
Are we willing to live Jesus' way, even when it's inconvenient to us?
Are we willing to live Jesus' way, even when it becomes painful?
There are times when being a disciple of Jesus is so against the flow of all of those people around us that there is a cost to pay. Probably mostly in this country, in our reputation. Oh, she's a bit religious, isn't she? You just, you know, you don't need to go with her too much. Or, oh, he's really into that church stuff. He even talks about Jesus sometimes. I'd avoid him. It'd be really difficult if you got him over the water cooler at work. Just wait till he's gone.
It's increasingly difficult to be a believing Christian in some jobs. A while ago, there was a registrar in London who was finding it difficult to do her job as a believing Christian, and she lost it in the end. There's a teacher in Oxford at the moment who's suspended for holding clearly to what the Bible says, for holding clearly to Jesus' teaching.
Or we might find that a hobby or an activity that we love doing is getting in the way of living Jesus' way. Perhaps it's something that's really good in and of itself, something that's great, but maybe it's just beginning to take over. And this is where the geraniums come in. We've got some geraniums in our back garden, and geraniums are really nice. They're lovely. And I thought that geraniums died off at the end of the summer. How wrong am I? These geraniums have turned into bushes, and they're beginning to take over parts of our garden. Now, they're brilliant geraniums. They're really nice. But they're just a bit much. They're just beginning to take over. So we're going to have to chop them back. Otherwise, the rest of our garden is going to suffer. So maybe something that you're into that is really good in and of itself is beginning, like my geraniums, to take over your life a bit much. Will you give it up, or at least chop it back, so that you can start growing as a disciple of Jesus again? Or will you take up your cross and live Jesus' way, even when it gets a little bit uncomfortable? A Christian believer grows in prioritizing Jesus over their family. A Christian believer grows in prioritizing Jesus over their comfort. A Christian believer grows in allowing Jesus to direct their life. Verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
When we give our lives to Jesus for the very first time, when we acknowledge his words, so when we repent and turn away from going our way and turn back towards Jesus, when we do that for the very first time, we're given a real new spiritual life. Our old spiritual self dies, and a new spiritual self is born. God gives that to us. And we're literally a new person, spiritually speaking. We've lost our old life that was heading for hell, and we've been given a new life that That means that we're seated, spiritually speaking, in heaven already with Christ. And over time, our present experience begins to catch up with our spiritual reality. That means that we'll gradually give over the control of our life to Jesus, bit by bit. I'm sure there are people here who are thinking, well, there's that little bit of my life that I know that I should really be giving over to Jesus. There's that thing. I've got things in my life. I'm nowhere near the finished article, as I'm sure you all know all too well. But we all have those things in our life, don't we? Me included. And maybe Jesus is putting his finger on something now in your life to say, give that bit to me. Lose that bit of your life. Hand it over to me. Let me take control. And as we do that, his character shines through us more and more. And we actually feel that we're living our life in kind of in the grain of the universe a little bit more. And life is just more fulfilling because we're living the life Jesus gave us, Jesus' way. So we keep losing our life for his sake. How can we tell whether we're a real believing Christian, whether we are a disciple of Jesus? Well, first we'll acknowledge Jesus' words about repentance and faith. And he promises to acknowledge us before the Father. Secondly, we'll increasingly prioritise Jesus over everything else. And he promises us eternal life. Finally, believing Christians, real disciples of Jesus, commit to Jesus' people. Verse 40. Look with me at verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. There are three groups of people here that Jesus mentions. And believing Christians, disciples of Jesus, grow in their welcome of their commitment to all of those three groups. The first group is who Jesus calls in verse 40, you. And as Jesus is talking to his disciples face to face, those 12, that must be who he means when he says you, mustn't it? How can we welcome those disciples, though? They died almost 2,000 years ago. Well, we welcome them as we welcome their message into our lives. As we grow as Christians, we'll find ourselves growing in a love for their message, which is written down for us in the Bible. Yes, of course, we will go through peaks and troughs of that, and we might find that for a while, we haven't been reading our Bible as often as maybe we had been a while ago. But over time, we'll find that our love for the Bible grows. Our love for reading it for ourselves, our enjoyment of it increases. Maybe a few years ago, you were reading your Bible. You weren't reading your Bible at all for yourself. Maybe 5 years ago, you were picking it up occasionally. Maybe a couple of years ago, you were reading it two or three times a week. Maybe this year, you're reading it three or four times a week. Maybe next year, it'll be four, maybe five times a week. And as time goes on, we're growing in our welcome of the disciples' message. And we'll find our thinking is increasingly shaped by their message, by what the Bible tells us. The second group of people are the prophets and the righteous men in verse 41. Now, Jesus might still be talking about those who wrote the scriptures, but I think he's more likely talking about those people who follow in the disciples' footsteps and take the same message out to new people generation after generation. In other words, people who preach and who teach the Bible.
As we grow in our faith, as we grow as disciples of Jesus, so we'll grow in our love for hearing God's word taught to us. We'll welcome a sermon. We'll join a life group. We'll love being discipled by one another. And the third group of people that we'll welcome and commit to are what Jesus calls the little children. Now, he doesn't literally mean little children. What he means is anyone who follows him, his disciples, his children. Believing Christians commit to them and keep on growing in commitment to them. That's because followers of Jesus are all part of the same massive spiritual family. We're brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, together. And we share our membership of that family. We show our membership of that family by being committed to one another. And we can't help it because it's the work of the Spirit within us that grows us in commitment to one another. It means that a believing Christian loves to spend time with other believing Christians. They want to be at church regularly, week by week, unless they're ill or something or away. They'll want to hang around with each other midweek or go off places at weekends with each other. Obviously, there are different personality types. Some people prefer their own company a little bit more than others. But all believing Christians will love to be with their spiritual family, even if you're the personality type that needs to go and lie down in a darkened room a little bit afterwards. And that's fine. Of course, there are some people who find committing to others quite hard. If that's you, that's fine. Jesus will gradually grow you in that. And believing Christians will love to help one another when the need and the opportunity arises. They'll help out in practical ways. Jesus talks about a cup of water. He was talking to his disciples in a hot, arid place. And a cup of water would be just what somebody would need. We might be providing meals for someone at a time when they need it. Or we might be, I don't know, sitting in their house while they have a delivery of, I don't know, a new washing machine and they can't be there. Or we might be looking after their kids in the evening so they can get out to a life group or something else. But believing Christians would also help other believing Christians with their spiritual needs, refreshing one another's souls, meeting up together, praying together, talking about Jesus together, not in a heavy way that's just full on talking about Jesus all the time, but our conversations together will be just sprinkled with what God's been doing in our lives, encouraging one another in the faith, refreshing one another's souls. And as we keep committing to God's people, we'll keep on proving that we remain believing Christians. We'll keep on proving that we're disciples. I praise God for that. And it's the reward of a place in the kingdom of heaven that will never, ever be taken away from real believing Christians, real disciples of Jesus. It will never be taken away. It's absolutely certain that if you are somebody who is following Jesus, who is increasingly growing over a period of months or years in your love for Jesus, then that reward of a place in heaven will never be taken away from you. Praise God for that. So as we close, how can you see if you've responded rightly to Jesus' message? If you're a real believing Christian, if you're an actual disciple of Jesus, how can you tell if you're one of those people? Well, first of all, you'll have heard Jesus' message, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And you'll have acknowledged it by turning around and following Jesus for yourself. Next, you'll find that over a period of time, you're prioritizing Jesus in your life more and more. That he's taking a bigger place in your life over months and years. And finally, you'll be committing to Jesus as people or other believing Christians more and more. And you'll be growing in your love of serving them and of doing that in all sorts of different ways. If that describes you, then praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that great that all of those promises that Jesus makes in these passages are true for you? God's woken you up. He's given you new life. And you're heading to spend eternity with Jesus. But if it's not you, as you've been thinking, as I've been speaking, that those things don't quite fit me, it's not quite who I am, then it's not too late. It's not too late for you to acknowledge Jesus' message and to begin following him for yourself even today. And if you do, the kingdom of heaven will be yours. It's not that you can try harder to get in. You can't climb up a ladder to get to the kingdom of heaven. You can't win a place in the kingdom of heaven. It's not a competition or a lottery or anything like that. All you need to do is ask him to forgive you for going your own way, to repent and to believe Jesus' words. And he'll give you that new spiritual life. All you have to do is acknowledge Jesus, and the rest will follow as the Holy Spirit increasingly works in your life. Let me pray. Our Father, we give you great thanks that you work in our lives and that you increase our love for Jesus. We pray, Father, that we will be encouraged by seeing that you are working in our lives. And Father, for anyone who's not yet acknowledged Jesus' words of to repent and to believe, that today would be the day they do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.